بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول رحمه الله: وإن نسي أربع سجدات من أربع ركعات فذكر في تشهد سجد في الحال فصحت له ركعة، ثم يأتي بثلاث ركعات.
وعليكم السلام.
If he forgets four prostrations out of four rak'ahs and remembers while he is in tashahud, he should prostrate himself immediately, thus validating one rak'ah, and then he must perform three rak'ahs. Here he said he's praying a salat which made up of four rak'ahs, salat al-dhuhr. He makes one prostration for each rak'ah. Normally, how many? Two. And then, فَذَكَرَ فِي التَّشَهُّد, whilst he's doing his tashahud. Which tashahud? Last one. سَجَدَ فِي الْحَالِ, he prostrates straight away. ثُمَّ يَأْتِ بِثَلَاثِ رَكْعَاتِ, what he has done? Then he does another three rak'at. He has salvaged one rak'ah. يعني, he is in tashahud. This tashahud is based on what, ya shabab? Is based on false act. Is based on what? On false act. So what does he do? He prostrate again. That means he has a full rak'ah that is correct. Then he has to stand up and pray how many? Three. Because each one of them was done and finished. Because as you see, the last three have become annulled. الضرب الثالث, he said, so we understand this how it worked? We understand that how it worked? So that teaches you a principle, which is what? Whatever rak'ah you do and you passed it already before you started the recitation, remember? يعني that rak'ah, if it is false, خلاص, it's gone, and whatever you base on it is false. And then he came to the fourth rak'ah. He did one prostration, he sat back and he started tashahud. He remembered straight away, he cuts off his tashahud, he does a sajda, and then what? He stands up and to do the third, the three rak'at that he ruined. And then here he said, الضرب الثالث, the third type, الشك, doubt. And that is, most of us fall into that, which is doubting how much you prayed. He said, فَمَنْ شَكَّ فِي تَرْكِ رُكْنٍ فَهُوَ كَتَرْكِهِ كُلِّهِ. As regard whoever doubts whether he has missed a pillar, it is as if he missed it. The doubt meant here is the significant doubt, not the whispers of shaitan. So what does it here says? So when you start having doubt, طيب, and the doubt that is significant, not just whispers the shaitan are playing in your mind, just you doubted something, whether you prayed, you've done this, or you did not do that. Once here he said, مَنْ شَكَّ فِي تَرْكِ رُكْرٍ فَهُوَ كَتَرْكِهِ لَهُ. If you doubt that you missed the pillar, then it is if you missed it. So once you doubt, as if you missed it. You doubted how many rak'ah you did. Did you pray three or you prayed four? Then as if what? You have, if you doubted three or four, he's saying here, as if you prayed three. Two or three, then as if you prayed two, as if you missed it, all of it. Now, also reading, for example, a Fatiha. You doubted that, you read the Fatiha. Again, you doubted whether you read the Fatiha or not, then as if you did not read it. And then you compensate as what you needed to do, as we spoke last week. وَمَنْ شَكَّ فِي عَدَدِ الرَّكَعَاتِ بَنَى عَلَى الْيَقِينِ إِلَّا الْإِمَامُ خَاصَّ فَإِنَّهُ يَبْنِي عَلَى غَالِبِ ظَنِّهِ. Here he said, whoever doubts the number of rak'ahs he prayed must be preceded on the basis of certainty. So you try to reach as much as you can to the certainty. As much as you can, how many you prayed. You think of it. Once you reach some level of certainty, then you base on that. You don't have to base on the minimum. يعني did I pray one or two, one or two, you in the third. You stood up. You said, okay, did I pray one or two? Or you say, did I pray three or four? Now you are into three or four. You say, but I'm certain I read the Fatiha twice. خلاص, you prayed four. You do your salam and you get up. Your salat is correct. عرفت? But if you say, look, I only remember I prayed the Fatiha once. I recited the Fatiha once. I only remember that I recited the Fatiha once after the first tashahud. Then what do? You pray araka. And khalas, you base it. Here he said, except the imam who proceeds on the basis of what is more probable. The imam, what you do here, in the hadith, it is in Muslim, عن أبي سعيد رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا شك أحدكم في صلاته فلم يدري كم صلى صلى ثلاثا أم أربعة فليطرح الشك وليبني على ما استيقن ثم يسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم فإن كان صلى خمسا شفعنا له صلاته وإن كان صلى إتماما لأربع كانتا ترغيما للشيطان. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one of you doubts in his salat, he does not know how much he prayed, three or four, let him throw away the doubt and then base it on the yaqeen. Then he prostrate two prostrations before the taslim. If he prayed five, then this two sajdat will intercede for him. If he prayed four, then these two sajdat, targhiman li shaytan, humiliating the shaytan. Also in the Bukhari, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابِ فَلْيُتِمَّ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ لِيَسْجُدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ. Here he said, when one of you doubt in his salat, let him try to get to the best possible answer. Then he builds on it and he prays سَجْدَتَيْن. طيب. This here, some group of ulama used this hadith and they said, because the shak, what is the shak? The shak is when you have two equal matters in your mind, none of them is stronger. You can't give precedence to any one of them. You can't give power to any one of them. So you choose what? One. So here the issue of doubt, if one of you, as the hadith said, he doubted how many he prayed, three or four, let him outcast the doubt and base it on what? On the yaqeen, on certainty, and then he does two sajdat before the taslim. The second hadith is also, if you doubt, you try the best. You try whether it's more or less. Yani, if you are, you prayed three or four, you try to get to your best. You keep thinking until you reach one of the two opinions. Either three or four, then you do sujood as-sahu. The first one is what, ya shabab? The first one, you base it on the yaqeen. I'm sure I prayed three, I'm sure I prayed four. You try. Why? So you cannot fall into waswas as for the first one. The second one is either on the aqal or three or four. Here on the yaqeen, what does it mean for the one? On the yaqeen, when he said, وَلْيَبْنِ عَلَى مَسْتَيْقًا, and to base it on his yaqeen. To base it on his yaqeen means how many you prayed. يعني, if he said, I prayed three or four, then what is the yaqeen? Three. If he said, I prayed two or three, then the yaqeen is what? Two. If he said, I prayed four or five, then the yaqeen is? Four. That's what it means to base it on his yaqeen. Not on his yaqeen, because if he's doubtful, how can he has yaqeen? But the yaqeen is what? Is always the minimum. And then the hadith, he said, let him outcast the doubt and whatever is the minimum, and let him pray two raka'at. You see, that's what the hadith means. The second hadith, that's where the conflict comes. The second hadith, إِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابِ. The second hadith says that let him see and think which is more. And here it's not the yaqeen. This is could be what? If you doubted three or four, the yaqeen is three, the doubt is what? Four. But sometimes you feel, no, you prayed four. You see? And this opinion for the ones who do not happen to them regularly and they have no waswas whatsoever, then what they do? They base it on whatever they feel it is the correct. If they feel they doubt at the three or four, then they go for the four or the three, whatever they feel. As for the one who regularly happens to him, what does he do? He goes the minimum. And if he said three or four, then it is the yaqeen is what? Three. Not four, three. If he based it, did I pray four or five? And then he prayed what? Four. But regardless, he has to do what? Sujood al-sahw. Tayyib. We understand it. And when he said, illa al-imam, why he said, except the imam? Imam, he bases it on what? On the most likely, in his opinion. Because the imam, normally there is a person who, behind him, reminds him. He says, subhanallah. You understand? Imam, there is always someone to remind him if he makes a mistake. The other one, if you're by yourself, what do? You base it on the minimum. يعني you base it on the minimum, as the hadith clearly said, إِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابِ فَلْيُتِمَّ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ لْيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْنِ. يعني they try the sawab. يعني what is the most correct. وَلِكُلِّ سَهْوٍ سَجْدَتَانِ قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ. How do we do the sajdat? He said, prescribed for every forgetfulness, prescribed for every forgetfulness are two prostrations before the taslim except. So here he said, rahmatullahi alayh, he said, for every sahu, two sajdat before the salam. Why? Because ya ikhwa, as-sujood is to compensate, and you compensate before the salat or after the salat. The compensation is within the act or outside the act? Within the act. So you do sajdat al-sahu when? Before the taslim. He said, إِلَّا مَنْ سَلَّمَ مِنْ نَقْصٍ فِي صَلَاتِهِ. Except the one, now he's going to give you some exceptions. Except the one, مَنْ سَلَّمَ عَنْ نَقْصٍ فِي صَلَاتِهِ. Except one who makes taslim too early prior to the actual completing of his prayer. What happens then? You forgot a rak'ah. What do? You make taslim. Of course, you have to do sujood al-sahw now after the taslim, because you're going to stand up and say Allahu Akbar and do a rak'ah and do sujood al-sahw after the taslim. As the qissa, the story of dhil yadayn that we mentioned earlier on. Here he said, وَالْإِمَامُ إِذَا بَنَى عَلَى غَالِبِ ظَنِّهِ. The imam, if he proceeds on the basis of the more probable, he does the sujood when? After the salam, because of hadith Ibn Mas'ud that we mentioned. The hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when one of you doubts his salat, he try his best, and then he does what? He completes and then he does the sajdatayn. Also some يعني have said that it is best for the imam, regardless, to do the sujood al-sahu before the taslim, so he doesn't confuse the people behind him. So he does it before the taslim and then the people behind him do the sujood al-sahu and he get up. He said, وَالنَّاسِ لِلسُّجُودِ قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْجُدُ سَجْدَتَيْنِ بَعْدَ سَلَامِهِ. One who forgets to prostrate before the taslim, he should make two prostrations after the taslim. وَالنَّاسِ لِلسُّجُودِ قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ ثُمَّ يَتَشَهَّدُ وَيُسَلِّمُ. Again, وَالنَّاسِ لِلسُّجُودِ قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْجُدُ سَجْدَتَيْنِ بَعْدَ سَلَامِهِ ثُمَّ يَتَشَهَّدُ وَيُسَلِّمُ. One who forgets to prostrate on an account of forgetting to perform any part of the prayer before the taslim, in these three cases, he should make the prostration after the taslim and then make tashahud and taslim. What does it mean? Here he said, وَالنَّاسِ لِلسُّجُودِ. The one who forget to prostrate before the salam, meaning you've forgotten to make sujood as-sahu before the taslim. What do you do? You do sujood al-sahw when? After the taslim, and you tashahhud and as-salam. You repeat the tashahhud and as-salam. We inshallah give you the summary at the end because it seems confusing, isn't it? You are confused. I felt that. Let's continue here inshallah, and I'll give you the summary. He said, وَلَيْسَ عَلَى الْمَأْمُومِ سُجُودُ السَّهْوِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَسْهُوَ إِمَامَهُ فَيَسْجُدَ مَعَهُ وَمَنْ سَهَى إِمَامُهُ أَوْ نَابَهُ أَمْرٌ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فالتسبيح يقول سبحان الله بصوت عال لتنبيه الإمام للرجال والتصفيق للنساء. Here he said the prostration of forgetfulness is not mandatory upon one who is led in the prayer except when his imam forgets. Then he prostrates with him. For one whose imam forgets or something happens to him, his prayer in during his prayer, then saying subhanallah in a loud voice, alert the imam for men and a clapping for women. Yaqul, here, man nabahu, yani the dalil for this, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man nabahu shay'un fi salatihi fal yusabbih, fa'innahu idha sabbaha al-tufita ilayh, innama at-tasfiqu lil-nisa. He who is concerned about something during his prayer should say subhanallah, for if he says subhanallah, he will be noticed, clapping only for women. Now, you see here, he said also, al-ma'mum, if you are led with the salat, you've forgotten something. You've forgotten obligatory act in the salat. You have no sujood as-sahu upon you. You're led in the salat. Mandatory act, not a pillar. Type now, if the imam did sujood as-sahw, if the imam done a mistake and you corrected him or he was corrected, he has to do sujood as-sahw, he does sujood as-sahw, you have to follow him with sujood as-sahw. Type, how do you correct the imam here? He said, if you something happens in your salat, even if you are by yourself, or the imam, you tastaftah alayhi, you say, subhanallah, so he can hear you. And women do not say that, they clap. And some ulama said the clapping is not like this, two hands, no. Hand on her thigh. She claps on her thigh. Clapping on the, clapping two hands together, that is not the sunnah. The sunnah is to clap on her thigh. Just an issue so we can understand this one more time. If you've forgotten a mandatory act, you've forgotten a mandatory act. Let's say the middle tashahud. We said it is what? Mandatory act. You prayed the four rak'at straight. You said for the last tashahud. You did the taslim and you got up. You remembered, oof, I didn't do the middle tashahud. What do I do? Huh? You come back. You do two sajdat sahu, tashahud and taslim. Araf? Tashahud and taslim. Because sujood al-sahu is normally right before taslim. Right before the taslim. So you do sajdat al-sahu before what, ya shabab? Before the taslim. Before the taslim. Here he said, the three cases he mentioned, the imam, ala ghalib al-dhan, and when you make taslim from prior to completing the prayer, and the third one, he said, if you forgot sajdat sahu, in all the three cases, what do? You do sujood sahu, because now you are outside the salat. You do sajdat sahu, you do tashahud, and you do taslim. But sometimes you have to pray whole rak'ah. What do you do if you have to pray whole rak'ah? Let's say you prayed Isha, three rak'at, and you gave taslim. Then you stand up, you make takbir, you pray one rak'ah as it is. You sit, you make the tashahud, you read al-Ibrahimiyya, you do sajdat, two sajdat sahu, you sit back and you give taslim. The whole picture now is complete. Just one more time. One more time as a quick summary so it can stick in the mind. We going to follow one opinion, which is the opinion of Ibn Qudama, because it is the simplest. And also, before the taslim or after the taslim, all of it, with the ijma', it is not what?
It's not obligatory. It is preferred. Because there's too many ahadith, and the combination of the ahadith states that. If we add, what do we do? Before taslim. Khalas, you just do two sajdat after the tashahud, after the Ibrahimiyya, and before the taslim you do sajdatan. If you subtract, you compensate what you have done, yani, you didn't pray the salat completely, you complete and patch up what you have done, and before the taslim you do two sajdat, as-sahu, and then you make taslim. If you in doubt, you have two cases. One case is what? If you're a person of lot of waswas, you always take the certainty, which is the minimum. And then you do the sajdat as-sahu before the taslim. Tayyib, if you're a person who happened once, then ghalib dhannak. Four or five. Khalas, the certainty is what? Whatever your heart, say, khalas, you do it straight away. Towards the end, here he said, so there are three types of people who do sujood as-sahu after the taslim. If you made taslim too early, you finished, you ended the salat too early before before you complete all the acts of the salat. Or if an imam, he based it on ghalabat al-dhan because of the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. And the third one, what? If you forgot to do sajdat al-sahu itself. And in these three cases, you do what? Sujood al-sahu, tashahud, and taslim. Bas. So we understand the issue of sujood al-sahu as simple as that. Taib. We continue. Let's continue here, he said. Babu salat al-tatawwa. Supererogatory prayers. وَهِيَ عَلَى خَمْسَةِ أَضْرُبٍ. So here he divided the rawatib, the sunan, on what? Five different types. The sunnah is what? Is levels. Because there are sunan, the Prophet ﷺ never, even if he's traveling or not traveling, he used to always pray. And there are sunan, occasionally used to pray, and so on. Here he said, أَحَدُهَا السُنَنُ الرَّوَاتِبُ. He said, one of it is السُنَن الرَّوَاتِب. What does mean sunan rawatib? Routine sunnah prayer. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constantly prayed them continuously, which also follows what? The farida. It's always coupled with the obligatory salat. وهي التي قال عنها ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما عشر ركعات حفظتهن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ركعتان قبل الظهر وركعتان بعدها وركعتان بعد المغرب في بيته وركعتان بعد العشاء في بيته وركعتان قبل الفجر. حدثتني حفصة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا طلع الفجر وأذن المؤذن صلى ركعتين في بيته. متفق عليه. Agreed upon. Here he said those rawatib are the ones who Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said about them. There are 10 rak'at. I memorized them from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. 2 rak'at before Zuhur, and 2 rak'at after Zuhur, and 2 rak'at after Maghrib, 2 rak'at after Maghrib in his house, and 2 rak'at after Isha in his house, and 2 rak'at before Fajr. And Hafsa informed me. Who's Hafsa, ya Shabab? The wife of the Prophet ﷺ, the sister of Ibn Umar. And then you have this pseudo, I don't know what's wrong with them, Shia. I just don't understand these people. How can someone, Prophet ﷺ, marry his daughter? And the other one, he marries his sister. And they, yani, all of them are what? And the Prophet ﷺ never married from Ahlul Bayt. He never married from Ahlul Bayt. He never married from his own family. He all married Aisha and Hafsa and all that. And yet they say these people are no good. Ajeebullah. All our deen come from the house of the Prophet ﷺ. Yani Abdullah ibn Umar, he would get the information from his own sister. But alhamdulillah, because wallahi, no understanding to anything. How can someone
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam choose to marry their daughters and their sisters, and they become part of his blood and family blood, and he produces from them. And then they say, no, these people, they're the worst people on the face of the planet. Wallahi, ya akhwa, I don't mean to be offensive, but their talk is really offensive to our intellect, not only deen, intellect. Yani, enter you, do not marry from people that you know they have hypocrisy. When you want to marry a girl, you want to know her father, her mother. You are not Rasulullah, and you're not a leader, and you're not... If someone wants to lead the whole universe and to lead it, bring a deen, his wife is the worst people, and his second wife is the worst people, and his third wife is the worst people. All of his wife are bad, his mates are bad, his friends, everyone around him is bad. And he said, حدثتني حفصة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Hafsa told me that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, كان إذا طلع الفجر. When the Fajr time comes, طلع, he used to, and he hears the adhan, he prays two rak'at. And here Ibn Qudama said, rahmatullah alayh, وهما آكدها ويستحب تخفيفهما وفعلهما في البيت أفضل وكذلك ركعة المغرب. These are the most emphasized of all of them. It is preferred to make them short, and praying them at home is better. This applies to the two rak'at of Maghrib as well. He said here, وَهُمَا أَكَدُهُمَا, which what he's talking about, the two rak'at of Fajr. The most important two rak'at are two rak'at of Fajr. يعني the most important sunan from the rawatib. Pay attention. And it is mustahab to pray him khafif, quickly. Pay attention to two ahadith. First hadith narrated by Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, رَكْعَةَ الْفَجْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. The two rak'at of Fajr are better than the dunya and whatever it contains. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ تَخْفِيفَهُمَا, يعني it is mustahab to pray him lightly. لقول عائشة رضي الله عنها, because Aisha said, كان النبي يخفف صلى الله عليه وسلم يخفف الركعتين اللتين قبل الصبح حتى إني لأقول هل قرأ بأم القرآن, يعني متفق عليه. هي عائشة رضي الله عنها said, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to pray the two rak'at before صلاة الصبح so quick until I would doubt, did he really read the Fatiha? Agreed upon. يعني he doesn't prolong him. Even if you come to pray in the masjid, you see the brother is reading the Baqarah. Yeah, relax. Read Fatiha and a small surah. He used to only read it very quickly, make them very, very light, those two rak'at. And then he said here, rahmatullahi alayhi, وَفِعْلُهُمَا فِي الْبَيْتِ أَفْضَلْ, and doing them in the house which is better. يعني رَكْعَتَي الْفَجْر, the best to do them where? In the house. وَكَذَلِكَ رَكْعَتَا الْمَغْرِبِ, also the two rak'at of al-Maghrib is best to pray them where? In the house, because of the hadith is clear. Also, now we finished with this. So how many we have? 10 rak'at. 10 rak'at. 2 before Fajr, 2 before Dhuhr, and 2 after Dhuhr. The 2 before Fajr, best to pray in the house. The Dhuhr one, you can pray in the masjid and in the house. Tayyib, Asr, there is no sunnah before or after. Maghrib, 2 after, it is sunnah to pray in the house. And then 2 after Isha, sunnah to pray in the house. So these are the rawatib. You should not abandon these 10 rak'at. You should not abandon these 2 rak'at. Here he said, الضرب الثاني الوتر. He said, شوف, the second type, which is witr, odd number of night prayer. ووقته ما بين صلاة العشاء والفجر. Its time is between the Isha and Fajr prayer. From the Isha all the way to before Fajr. وأقله ركعة وأكثره 11. He said, وأقله ركعة. Here he said, as for its time, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in a hadith that is collected in Musnad Imam Ahmad, يعني الإمام الطحاوي, he narrated it also in Isnad, that is Sahih, correct Isnad inshaAllah. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَادَكُمْ صَلَاتٍ, Allah increased you a salat, وَهِيَ صَلَاتُ الْوِتْرِ,
It is صلاة الوتر. فصلوها فيما بين صلاة العشاء إلى صلاة الفجر. Pray it between the عشاء till the فجر. And of course, this is إجماع. يعني ما في خلاف amongst the علماء that the وتر is between عشاء and فجر. But the minimum of it is one ركعة. وأقله ركعة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in صحيح مسلم الوتر ركعة من آخر الليل. الوتر ركعة من آخر الليل. Witr is a ركعة at the end of the night. Now the مذهب الحنفي does not accept صلاة to be one ركعة. Has to be minimum two ركعة. But in the case of the witr, does that mean has to be three? الصحيح is witr can be ركعة واحدة minimum. ركعة واحدة. He said the maximum is what?
11.
لقول عائشة رضي الله عنها ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزيد في رمضان ولا غيره على 11 ركعة رواه البخاري ومسلم. حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم never used to pray in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. He never used to pray more than 11 ركعات in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. Collected by whom? Bukhari and Muslim. We will speak about this. يعني I need to mention something. This hadith is taken by a group of brothers like that. يعني they prepare to declare a war about the person who prays 20 rak'at in what? In Taraweeh. They say the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the hadith that Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم never prayed more than 11. طيب. And they said the best of guidance is the guidance of whom? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. طيب, the companions prayed more. Shafi'i narrated he prayed 100. Ahmad, he prayed nearly the same. Ahmad bin Hanbal. All these great ulama, they prayed more than 11. So what's the point here? The point of the hadith, ya ikhwa, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم not prayed more than 11. But it doesn't mean it is restricted to 11. Because we have to understand something in Usul al-Fiqh. Is there order in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ ordered us not to pray more than 11? Or they said he prayed 11. But also in another hadith, do not ask about their beauty and how long they are. Wallahi, if you pray 11 and you start, as narrated by Ibn Abbas with the Baqarah and Nisa and Al Amran, Hayya wahla, you're welcome. But you go with the Imam who's praying half a page in each rak'ah and you're saying, oof. Oh, akh, oh, ay, tayyib, like a pregnant woman in her 9th month. يعني اتق الله. But when you get to Westfield, you're prepared to stand on your feet for 5 hours, hanging out in front of the coffee shop. When I come to Salat al-Tarawih, no. خلص, if an imam prays 11, alhamdulillah, and 20, alhamdulillah, but it's not bid'ah. Don't go to extreme and call it bid'ah. خلاص. نعم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, we have a dalil in the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَقْرَأُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ Surah Al-Muzzammil. Recite whatever you are able from or you want from the Qur'an. Of course, this is talking about what? This ayah. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلِ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. It's talking about قيام الليل. فَقْرَأُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ Read whatever you are able from the Qur'an. يعني هي from صيات الليل. You want to pray more rak'at, pray more rak'at. That's why the ulama, they differed in the regard of tahajjud. They said, is it best for the mutahajjid, the one who is performing tahajjud, is it best to do a lot of sujood or do a lot of recitation? شوف the ulama, the difference of opinion amongst them. He said, يعني Ibn Taymiyyah said, if someone is sinner, and done a lot of sins, sujood is more likely to forgive his sins. If someone is a hafiz, qiyam and recitation is better for him because that help him revise his Quran. Everyone to what he needs from tahajjud. طيب. So you see what you need from tahajjud. And here we say, طيب. Here also, a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to support the argument. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الليل مثنى مثنى فإذا خشي أحدكم الصبح صلى واحدة
تُوْتِرُ لَهُمَا صَلَّى. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the prayer of at night with the tahajjud is what? Two. When one of you fear that the fajr going to come, huh? He pray witr, and that makes it witr for what he prayed. Collected by Bukhari and Muslim. من حديث ابن عمر. طيب هي. وأدنى الكمال ثلاث بتسليمتين. وأدنى الكمال ثلاث بتسليمتين. The minimum that is considered perfect is three with two تسليم. What does it mean? It means two rak'at. You finish them with taslim, and then you stand up and do another rak'ah with taslim. Why he said that, rahmatullah alayh? Because some scholars disliked the one rak'ah. Yani one rak'ah witr, some scholars disliked it. He said, that is the minimum of perfection of witr. What is the maximum? I'll explain to you in a minute, inshallah. Some scholars have said that the minimum of al-kamal, of perfection, is to pray one rak'ah. Because that is already in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, as I mentioned to you, it is one rak'ah. I have collected for you some of the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the number of rak'at in witr. The minimum, we said, is what? One rak'ah. The minimum is one rak'ah. Because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim, الوتر ركعة من آخر الليل. الوتر is what? ركعة at the end of the night. Also in another hadith, which is we mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صلاة الليل مثنى مثنى فإذا خشي أحدكم الصبح صلى ركعة واحدة تُوتِرُ لَهُ مَا قَدْ صَلَّى رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِ وَمُسْلِمُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, صلاة الليل two من two ركعات. فَإِذَا خَشِيَ أَحَدُكُمُ الصُّبْحِ. If one of you fears صبح, يعني فجر just coming to start, صلى ركعة واحدة, he prays one ركعة, تُوتِرُ لَهُ مَا قَدْ صَلَّى, it turns everything to witr. So here he said, the Prophet ﷺ, one rak'ah. So these are two proofs, strong proofs, that the witr minimum one rak'ah. Because as we said, some madhahib, some ahlul ilm, they said it is not even accepted, and some of them said it is disliked. The correct opinion, wallahu alam, that you can pray witr minimum one rak'ah. Another way of praying witr is three rak'at, with one tashahud. Meaning, one rak'ah, second rak'ah, third rak'ah, and you sit in the last one, you make tashahud. So three rak'at with one tashahud. This is in the hadith, Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يُسَلِّمُ فِي رَكْعَتَيِّ الْوِتْرِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he never used to make taslim in the two rak'at of witr. And in another lafz, in another narration of the hadith, كان يوتر بثلاث لا يقعد إلا في آخرهن. He used to do witr three, and he used to not sit till the end of them. So this is another way of praying witr. يعني this hadith, البيهقي said about it, its isnad is sahih, the narration of it is sahih. And the ulama like the Nawawi and others have accepted it. Another one, you pray the three rak'at, is to pray two rak'at, then you make taslim and you pray one odd one. طيب. Now, as also you can pray five or seven, and all of them continuous. Now, how many types of witr we said? One and second. First one, three, connected with one taslim. The second one, what? Two plus one. The third way to pray witr, here to pray five or seven, all of it connected. All of it what? Connected with
تشهد on the end. يعني if you're attending five, you pray five and the last one you sit for the tashahud. Same thing if you doing seven. There is a hadith here. Hadith Aisha رضي الله عنها in Sahih Muslim. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي من الليل 13 ركعة يوتر من ذلك بخمس لا يجلس في شيء إلا في آخرها. رواه مسلم. عائشة رضي الله عنها narrated that the Messenger وسلم he used to pray from the night 13 ركعة يوتر من ذلك بخمس. He would pray out of the 13 five witr. He would not sit in any of them except at the end of it. Another hadith, hadith Salama رضي الله عنها, she said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوتر بخمس وبسبع لا يفصل بينهن بسلام ولا كلام. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to pray witr five or seven, he would not separate between them neither by salam, meaning giving taslim, nor by talking. Meaning five straight or seven straight till the end he makes the taslim. This is narrated by Imam Ahmad and An-Nasa'i. Sheikh al-Albani rahmatullah alayhi said it is authentic. And also another way of praying witr, to pray nine. To pray nine, you sit for one tashahud in number eight and one tashahud in number nine. So how many tashahud? Two. After you pray eight, you seek for the tashahud. And then you get up and you pray and you do another rak'ah, which is the nine. They're all connected. You don't give taslim. You seek for another tashahud and then you make taslim. In the hadith of Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصلي تسع ركعات لا يجلس فيها إلا في الثامنة فيذكر الله ويحمده ويدعوه ثم ينهض ولا يسلم ثم يقوم فيصلي التاسعة ثم يقعد فيذكر الله ويحمده ويدعوه ثم يسلم تسليما يسمعنا. هي what does he say? She said, Aisha radiallahu anha, in hadith collected by Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray tis'a rak'at, nine rak'at. He would not sit except in the eighth. And then he would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praises him and he supplicates to him. Then he stands up and he does not give taslim. Then he prays the ninth. Then he sits and he remembers Allah and praises him and supplicates and ask him, yani, and yad'uh, and supplicate to Allah, then he would do a taslim that he made sure that we can hear it. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he knows that Salama going, Aisha radiallahu anha and his wives going to narrate to us. So he would do the actions so they can learn. Tayyib, as you see here, what do you read? What is the best thing you can read in the witr? The best is to read سبح اسم ربك الأعلى in the first. If you're praying three, first one سبح اسم ربك الأعلى, the surah, the second one الكافرون, and the third one الإخلاص, قل هو الله أحد, as it is narrated by النسائي عن أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في الوتر بسبح اسم ربك الأعلى وقل يا أيها الكافرون وقل هو الله أحد. صححه الألباني. أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه said the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to read in the witr with سبح اسم ربك الأعلى and قل يا أيها الكافرون and قل هو الله أحد. So that is how the witr is prayed. That is how the witr is prayed. So as you see, the issue of supererogatory salat is always flexible. Always flexible. You can pray the witr. Of course, most of us, or 90%, we either pray three or one. But as we mentioned previously, if you remember, that whatever the sunnah is, whatever is narrated in different ways, the sunnah is to pray it in different ways. Yani, sometimes we pray seven, sometimes we pray five, sometimes nine, sometimes 11, sometimes a three, and sometimes one. Tayyib.
Why? Because this way you practice all the sunnah of the Prophet. It depends also. If you're tired, you pray one. If you're not really tired, you pray three. And you see yourself. But of course, if you're going to stay up till about 2 a.m. and they say, I'm tired now, I can't open my eyes, I pray one. No. Pray, yeah, I need to try to sleep early, especially this time. Normally 10:30, I'm in bed this time of the day. Subhanallah. And it's now that when they change the time, we all flipped it. طيب. And then Rahmatullahi alayhi said, وَيَقْنُطُ فِي الثَّالِثَةِ بَعْدَ الرُّكُوعِ. He said, he makes qunut after the following of the third rak'ah. He makes qunut after the bowing of the third rak'ah. طيب. What is the qunut? He raises his hand in the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When do you do it? بعد الركوع. After you bow, you rise your head. سمع الله لمن حمده. And then you open your hands and you make qunut in al-witr. You make qunut in al-witr. Here, it is not compulsory. It is mustahab to do it. It is not compulsory. The dalil for that is, it is collected in Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ did qunut after the ruku'. Did qunut after the ruku'. Do you want me to go through dua al-qunut? And the translation, interpretation of it, the meaning? طيب. Because... Subhanallah. طيب, the dua al-qunut is as follows. When you raise your hand, you open your hand, and you say, Allahumma ahdini fi man hadayt, wa'afini fi man afayt. That means, oh Allah, guide me amongst those who you have guided, and give me safety from all evil among those you spared from all evil. Allahumma ahdini fi man hadayt. Oh Allah, guide me amongst those who you guided. Wa'afini. Al-afiyah is what? Al-afiyah is to give you safety and protection. Of course, al-afiyah in this dunya is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you from falling into the haram. That's one afiyah. To protect you from seeing harm in your life and in your family. To protect you from seeing any sickness. And al-afiyah in the hereafter is for you not to be punished in Jahannam. And you remain safe. Tayyib from the punishment in Jahannam. وَتَوَلَّنِي فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتَ. Befriend me among those whom you have taken as friends. يعني this is the wala to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني oh Allah, take me as one of your awliya. Be my friend. Here doesn't mean a friend in your street language. Here it means this is the closest word to wali. يعني close friend to someone. Someone that you are close to. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتَ. Bless that which you have given me. Shufiya subhanallah. Al-barakah. Everything that you gave me, O Allah, put barakah in it. My food, put barakah in it. My life, put barakah in it. My knowledge, put barakah in it. My wife, put barakah in it. My children, put barakah in them. Everything is giving to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You already asked Allah to give you barakah in all of these things in that simple dua. وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتَ. And spare me the evil which you have decreed. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not decree evil. Everything that Allah decrees is good. But the evil is what? Is from the creation. So if He decreed sickness for you, this is evil to you. But at the same time, it is what? It is good to someone else, but it's over good to you. Maybe Allah is expiating your sin. طيب وقني شر ما قضيت. إنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك. Verily you decree and none can decree against you. You give the decree because Allah is the one who gives decree and no one can decree against Allah. وإنه لا يذل من واليت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. Here he said, And he whom you befriend is never humiliated. Blessed are you, O our Lord, and exalted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whomever he takes as a wali, he cannot be طيب, as the dua clear here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Next week يا شباب, as you know, إن شاء الله 8 o'clock is the lesson.